Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to another week, the episode of Live with the Times. This week, we're going to be learning Parshas Korach. And here with the first Aliyah, Parshas Korach, wherever you are. Hope you're enjoying this. And in any case, Parshas Korach is in a lot of ways a continuation of last week's Parsha. Not really a continuation, but it's the consequences of last week's Parsha. And this is kind of what breeds the ground for Korach. Korach, in today's day and age, we've seen, has taken on to be a little bit more sympathetic figure. And people have a legit question, like, what was wrong with what Korach was saying in the first place? Right? It doesn't make sense that someone comes and asks a question, what do you even say that was wrong? Right? He said, "Kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. Why do you raise yourself against people? Right, it's too much for you, because the people, all of them are holy. What's wrong with saying all the people are holy? Don't we also teach that everybody has a Chelek Elokim, has a spark of the divine that's beyond measure, beyond number, beyond this world, beyond everything? Don't we all have that within us? Aren't we all holy?" Right? And you see that specifically his arguments and the whole uprising that came with his followers, they happened after Parshas Shelach, where the people were in mourning. They had failed, and they were panicking. They'd just been decreed that they were going to be dying in the desert. So they were desperate to try and change his decree, or maybe there's something wrong, or maybe there's something else. And here comes Korach. Where's Korach coming to? He comes with his followers in Al Techilis, and he says, "Hey, so the Torah says you got to have a string of Techilis on your tzitzis. So if you have a whole garment that's entire Techilis, does it need a string of Techilis?" And also, it says in the Torah, right, that you have to put a mezuzah on your door. If you have a house that's full of Torah scrolls, does it still need a mezuzah on the outside? Right, like, isn't the Torah scrolls within it more holy than that little Torah scroll, than the little mezuzah you're going to put on the door? And aren't all these tehillahs holy enough to account for that string of tehillahs on the outside? So that's one thing, right? Saying, well, what do we need to keep the mitzvahs for when I can light candles in my heart? My attention's good. Why do I need to do these things? And not only that, so one fold was to create doubt in the people's minds. Well, yeah, you know, that's true. And we're going to see a lot in this week's Parsha that, as we said last week, Rashi, that falsehood cannot endure without some truth in it, right? If somebody comes to you with something that's absolute falsehood, it's rejected. It's rejected immediately. But if you tie in truth with falsehood, it can create enough doubt that a person will say, you know what? Yeah, that sounds plausible. That sounds good. If you tell someone right now, hey, you know what? The sky is black. I'll say, no, it's not. It's blue. Right? They're going to reject it. But if you come and say, hey, listen, guess what? The sky looks blue. I know it looks blue, but actually it's black. And really, it's your eyes that can't process the black. So it tricks your brain in thinking that it's blue. So really it's black, but you can't really tell that it's black. It's really blue. And so in this way, it looks like it's blue. To you, it looks like it's blue, but really it's black. Can create all kinds of things around this. And it's just a silly example. The whole question was, why do we have to do what Hashem says anyways? Does Hashem really exist? Who puts you in charge? And it says, right in Sanhedrin, in the Gemara, that Korach was an atheist. Or excuse me. Yeah, it does. No, it says in the Yerushalmi, Sanhedrin, yes. That Korach was an atheist. Right, so he comes out here and he looks like what he's trying to do is just to raise some good questions, raise some good points, but really the whole point that he's trying to do is to dismantle everything and to break everything from its core, to create really like a revolution against Moshe Rabbeinu, to uprise and uproot Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? So he can instill his own thing. And we see what really is the motivation between atheists, kind atheists. We see that atheists, or we see specifically with Korach, says that he's an atheist. What was his problem? His problem was that he wasn't happy with his own life. And he saw, hey, you know what? look, here's Moshe Rabbeinu, and who's the Kohen Gadol? It's his brother. It's obviously he's a Nepo baby. He's obviously putting himself in the spot and putting his brother in the spot. I want to be in that spot. Why shouldn't I be in that spot? That should be mine. He wants to take which doesn't belong to him, and he has expectations that things should become to him easier than they are, or that he should get something that doesn't belong to him. And he has an entitlement. And when he doesn't get his way, he wants to uproot the entire system and to look at it as though it's a benevolent way and that everybody's going to benefit from this. But really, he's an atheist. He wants more power for himself. And he doesn't really believe in Hashem anyways. He's a heretic. He's going to make it look like it's not such a big deal until he really introduces his kind of revolutionary, radical thinking into the community. And we can see that because it says, Vayikach Korach. Vayikach, meaning that he took. The translation is that he removed himself. He separated himself. He separated himself from the community. He separated himself from everything and from everyone. From all the teachings. He was on his own, on his side. So that's what he wanted to institute into the world. And we see this in practice with ourselves and in the world around us. And in the world right now, you ask a lot of young people, and they're very disillusioned with the world, very unhappy with the world. They look at the world, and they say, what's the point? What's the point of all this? What's the point of working hard if the system's rigged? What's the point of working hard if capitalism has created a system where no matter how hard you work, you can't succeed? There's something wrong over here. There's something broken over here. Right? This is like Shalach, where the people were dismayed. They were panicking. They were ready for any answers that were going to come because they weren't happy with what was going on. And this is what's going on here, right? The people they see in today's day and age, hey, you know what? It's not working the way that I want. I want more. I'm not happy with my lot in life. So they're ready for answers from anything. And this is kind of the big issue is that I'm not scared of the big, scary guy. I'm scared of the guy they put in power after the big, scary guy is gone because we're going to be willing to accept anything that happens. Anything that's a replacement. And this is kind of what happened over here, right? Korach came and he wanted to uproot Judaism completely. He wanted to create a scenario where we are not trusting of our parents, not trusting of our teachers, not trusting of Torah, Judaism, not trusting of Hashem, believing that Hashem doesn't exist. And this is exactly what people want to do these days, where because there's issues with government, there's issues with capitalism, there's issues with the world at large, people want to take a revolutionary stance and uproot everything. And it's viewed as a benevolent replacement that's going to benefit everybody, but really it's being put in place by people who just want to usurp the power for themselves, to take the power for themselves. And they're using these kind of like benevolent means and words and language to make themselves look like, hey, everybody's going to benefit from this. We're all holy. We're all going to be rich. We're all going to have livable wages. But really, it's atheism at its core. And the whole point is to bring destruction and chaos. So why do we fall into it? Because we're not happy with our lot in life. Atheists aren't really atheists. They're just mad at Hashem. Right, I found a lot of times atheists have they've lived pretty tough lives, had some loss in their lives, or a lot of times it's just as bad as they're not getting what they want. So they say, if this isn't happening, because God doesn't exist. And if God didn't exist, I wouldn't want to be friends with them. Ah, so that's what it is. It's not that God doesn't exist. You believe in God, but you're not happy with what he's doing for you. Oh, and it's a big trap. It's a big trap, because on the other side, what happens? As we'll see, the whole world will open up beneath us. And this is what happens with atheists. You see the atheists in an attempt to try and assert power and create control, end up in massive depression, massive issues, emotional issues, mental issues. And we have a big, gigantic mental health crisis around the world, in America. I grew up in L.A., and thank God 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, I'm 15, 16, and I'm like, hey, this is not the place where I want to raise my kids. Already I knew, I could see, thank you Hashem, that there's not on the right track. It's already on the downward spiral. And my friends would say, hey, you're crazy. And now look, they're looking at me and saying, hey, I'm not happy with the way my kid's developing. I'm not happy with what my kid being taught in schools or not being taught, or he's already got emotional issues, mental health issues. And this is the result of this atheistic society that believes that God exists, but really subconsciously they tell themselves that God doesn't exist because they want power and they're unhappy with what God's giving them. So what's the antidote to this? The antidote is, Rav Shlomo Marwitz talks about, to be grateful. We talk about this, but really, to be grateful. So what does it mean to be grateful? One of the core beliefs to be grateful is to say that Hashem doesn't owe me anything. Hashem doesn't owe me anything. I don't deserve anything. People get all up in arms in this. What do you mean you don't deserve anything? You've been working so hard. You've been doing so much. Okay, and how much has God given me? How much has God given me every single breath that I have and every single beat in my heart, every single step I'm able to take, every single thing I'm able to do? And I'm so grateful for that, to see and to hear about people who don't have those things. What about them? They also have different things that they're able to do. Everybody has their own things that they're able to do according to their own life. I've seen some of the happiest people, some of the holiest people, are people who have disabilities. They're not able-bodied in the same kind of way. Who don't have the gift of sight. People who don't have the gift of walking, wheelchair-bound. You would think, Nebuch, so sad, and they're living the happiest life. Literally. Not just like inspiration or like, thank God, I'm not like them. I'm Shalom, not just like that. But they themselves are giving me koach, strength. Words of strength help me going to be so happy. See them so happy, that they're so happy. To pass this down and to continue on this way, this message. What, am I better than them because I have ability that I can walk? Do I deserve it? Am I able to walk because I deserve it? Am I able to breathe because I deserve it? Am I able to have anything because I deserve it, because I've earned it? In fact, I'm indebted to Hashem. So much gratitude. How many times do I have to say thank you? If you say Nishmash Kol Chai, if I were to say thank you on all the myriads and myriads and thousands of favors that Hashem does for me every single moment, every single day, still would not even come close to even one iota of one gift that I have. So what, I deserve something, and now I get upset if I don't get my way? And I get so upset that I start saying, Hashem, forget about you. I don't believe in you anymore. Is there, what else is there? Give me another system. Give me something else. And this is the problem that the world is in. We should be zoiche, to feel true gratitude for everything that we have. To know that Hashem is giving us so many gifts. To not feel entitled. To not feel as though something owed to us. And the same thing in our interpersonal relationships. They're so much affected when we think that someone owes us something. That our wife should be doing something for us. And that our husband should be doing something for us. I'm so grateful for every little thing my wife gives. She doesn't have to do anything for me. She doesn't do anything for me to love her. I'm so grateful for everything she does already. So too with Hashem. Hashem loves us so much. Hashem wants to give us so much. The more grateful that we are, the more Hashem is giving us. The more that we start throwing fits about the things that God gives us, the less easy it comes. Let's just say that. Till we end up, God forbid, in a place like Korach. We're so dissatisfied with our lives that the world opens up and swallows us. So we should be among those who are grateful, saying thank you, Hashem, happy with our lot in life. And this way we're going to see that this is mamish, the gateway to a new world, a new paradigm shift, where everybody's going to be grateful all the time and know that Hashem does everything for the good. And this is mamish, shalom, new world, what we can all live in. We can tap into that right now, Moshiach energy right now. And so may it be that by saying gratitude, saying thank you for everything, that we tap into Moshiach energy and bring down this third base on Mikdash speedily right away. Shalom for all people. And thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff.